This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Brandon. I love Lifetime Christmas killer movies.
Whoa, I'm Patrick Strato and I'm a Lifetime movie expert.
I'm Brian, filling in for Dan, who hates these, but I guess I kind of like them.
And this is the Deck of Lifetime Uncorked Podcast. Happy New Year.
New Year.
New Year's resolutions. Ryan Seacrest, ball dropping. Go. Oh, hi, everybody. How are you? I don't know what Dan's deal is. He's got to be better by now, but...
He's enjoying semi-retirement.
He's just... Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. He's missing out because today we're talking about Silent Night, Fatal Night. I saw this announced, I knew we had to do it because it's just... Christmas plus the standard Lifetime. This is what I've been saying that Lifetime should do more of anyway. Like,
they definitely should.
I don't know how this movie performed for them because it was on Lifetime Movie Network, and I don't, not everybody has that, and it's, whatever. But this was a good idea. They should do more of this. And I saw when I was watching it that they were doing something on the Lifetime Movie Network called, Sleigh Bells, S-L-A-Y. Are there more than just this when it comes to the slasher Christmas?
They have in the past few years done one a year. So they just re-air the old ones that So yes, they have a few snowy movies, not necessarily Christmas.
Right.
And this was barely Christmas.
Barely.
I mean, to the point where I was like, are these trees CGI'd in? Was this an afterthought?
Yeah.
I think there might be one line about a holiday break or something.
Yeah.
So yes, it's Christmas light.
Lights. That is good. But you know what? The trees and the lights are coming down all around us. And so this is kind of right there with it in that regard. Yes. Patrick, do you have any New Year's resolutions this year that you're going to be kicking off in a couple days?
I don't think so. I don't think I do those.
You don't think you do those?
You don't do trees.
Yeah. I don't think I do resolutions. Cool.
How about anything? Just anything you're going to try to do differently?
No.
I mean, I'm good. Okay,
you're good.
I'm living my life and happy with that.
That's probably the healthiest way to take on the new year.
Dan and I aren't doing a resolution. We're doing a thing, and that's different. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Right.
We're drinking smoothies.
I could think of something to better yourself, but I don't know. I don't buy into all that bettering yourself stuff. Just do whatever you like to do.
That's good advice.
I mean, maybe the hot tub meditation from last week. That might. Maybe you could do that.
Yeah. I mean, if I had access to a hot tub. Oh, I do. I have my gym. It's right down the street. I could go to that
every day.
It's not good for my heart. It's not good for your heart.
It's weird though to do that in a public
meditate,
gym, right? Meditate in the hot tub. Everybody else is wooing around you, having a good time, and you're like, guys,
Please.
I'm doing my morning meditation.
Inner peace is coming, everybody.
Yeah, that's
you're right.
It'd be a move. It'd be a move for sure. Let's talk about Silent Night, Fatal Night. Tell us everything we need to know before diving in, Patrick.
Yes. So Silent Night, Fatal Night stars Alex Camacho.
Yeah.
And Matthew Polkamp and Haley Rutledge.
Nailed it.
Practiced.
It shows.
I did look up Matthew Polkamp. I Googled him to see, because I always mess up that name because it just doesn't look like Polkamp, but obviously, And there's like a podcast that he does about BMX bikes. I'm like, okay, this guy just does it all.
He's a biker?
He's a BMXer.
He's a BMX expert. So I was like, this guy like rides bikes. He looks tall. I'm like,
he does look tall.
I'm like, this guy does movies, does BMX.
What a cool dude. What a cool dude.
Unless he like brings his bike everywhere and talks about bikes all the time, that could get old.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
I don't know. He hasn't done a bike movie, so he hasn't talked a director into being like, let's do a BMX movie, a Lifetime BMX movie. Because, you know, I mean, it might be coming. It might be coming.
Yeah, maybe we can write that.
Hey, if it doesn't exist yet.
A BMX rider,
yep.
And they come out the next day, and the rider's gone. His bike is still there.
Oh, yes. He disappears?
Then we got to find him.
The title is BMX Girlfriend.
Oh, BMX Girlfriend. What a great name.
Yes. Write that down, BMX Brian.
BMX Girlfriend.
Great idea. This is a great idea.
TM. Just so everybody's clear. We got it.
That's all you have to do to TM something. I understand. And you just have to say TM after it.
That's right.
Wonderful. All right. So jumping into the movie, now that we've pitched one for Matthew to steal from us, it begins with a redheaded woman. She is creeping around on a stormy night in like the 1940s or something. Like her outfit is crazy. Like she's got like a blouse on and like a bonnet hat, but she has a flashlight. I'm like, I don't understand what's happening. There's electric candles everywhere. You know, I'm like the timeline's not right. The timeline's not right. A man is chasing her around with a knife. And what? I'm like, oh, here we go.
And there's like some voiceover.
I love voiceover.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like narrating the story. And we come to find out it's characters from a popular book called Gideon's Family Reunion by a famed author, Mallory Dearborn.
Yes.
Now, so Mallory Dearborn is reading the story to like
she's at a book reading. This is a new book. This is, but she has a series of Gideon books. Like it's the Gideon family story
series. Yeah.
Got it. And they're very popular.
Wildly popular?
Very popular. I don't know. I mean, enough to where she gets like, she's like a best-selling author, so.
Oh, yeah. Like, definitely, like, you know, it's like R.L. Stine and then Mallory.
Yeah, I mean, she can't top R.L. No one can.
You'll come after
it's
you.
It's the Stine.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Josh, number 24. So she is at this book reading. This is a brand new book, and they're doing a reading followed by a signing. And this is when we meet Michael, who is her book agent.
Mm. Yep. Very handsome man.
He does BMX on the side. They don't get into that, but you can feel it. Tell.
Yeah, he's got that vibe.
He's got the quads.
He's got the quads okay. For BMX.
Say no more.
Yeah.
And there's like people in line. There's one girl who looks surprisingly like what's her name? Natasha Lyonne.
Oh yeah,
and that's an extra. I was like, Natasha Lyonne's in this movie? What the heck? But it's not her. We're focusing on. We're focusing on the other redheaded girl
who's super pumped. She's like, when she gets done with the reading, she stands up and is like, yeah. And then she's first in line for the autograph, and she's like, yep. I'm your biggest fan. Mallory's like being kind, but also like is trying to move it along. And Michael is like, you gotta keep going. Like we're not doing this whole thing. But she's like, I host a podcast. I'm an aspiring author. All this stuff. Huh? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, podcast hosts are the worst.
100%.
She takes her signed copy of the book and puts it on a shelf to her shrine to Mallory with all her other signed books and a framed picture of them together also signed.
She has done this before. Uh-huh. She's met her before.
Yep.
And it is a framed picture, and she also has the picture of the two of them together as the wallpaper on her laptop. So big fan. Big fan.
Got it.
Yep. Yeah. So Mallory is unhappy with her success. Like she's like, I'm not fulfilled. I've been writing these books forever. I want to do something else. I want to write like the next great American novel, you know?
Right. Yeah. She wants this to be the last Gideon book. so she can do something else.
And Michael, her agent, is like, you could probably do one more. You could probably do one more.
Maybe think about it.
He shoots down the idea right away.
You should definitely do one more. Yeah. And we find out, because he has a conversation with the publisher, that the publishing company is already paid in advance for the next Gideon book. And he has not told Mallory.
No.
He has basically pocketed this advance money.
Yikes.
And he's like, I don't have any doubts that I'm going to be able to convince her to do another Gideon book.
Yeah.
Not going to be a problem.
Right. I mean, look at that face. So handsome. Yeah. Who wouldn't write a book for him?
Look at this guy.
Look at that. Look at that face.
Oh, man. I'd write a book for him.
Yeah.
Man.
He is handsome. What a face. He is shady. We know he's a bad guy right from the top. We're like, Michael's a liar. Michael's a thief.
But I do want to say the thing that's this movie does really well, especially early on, is you have like this Michael character that seems shady, but you have this fan that seems crazy.
Yep.
And you know something is going to happen, but you're not really sure, like, who am I supposed to, like, hone in on as being the person that's going to do the thing, whatever that thing is, you know, the fatal night.
Poor Mallory. She's just trying to live her life. You know, she wants to just like chill. Like she just finished a book, did a book tour. She's chilling for the holidays.
Right.
She wants to like take time. She takes like a month off after every book tour or book like release. And, Michael offers to give her his cabin so she can go up and focus, maybe get some writing done. No press.
Of course. But no press.
Maybe
ride the bike in the trails.
Yeah. He gives her the key to the cabin. He's like, don't tell anyone where you're going though.
Yeah. And basically it's like, hey, go on a little retreat and just make sure that you're done with Gideon. Like make sure of it. And I think you'll get a lot of clarity on this trip to this cabin.
And don't tell anyone where you're going.
Please. And I can't stress this enough. Yeah. Don't tell anyone where you're going.
Mm-hmm. Mallory's like, my whole family's dead. I don't spend the holidays with anyone. I don't have friends. My books are my friends. So don't worry. I'm going to go. So she goes up to the cabin. She arrives. It's like a beautiful cabin.
Actually, it's decorated for Christmas, which
is nice.
I don't really know who did that.
What could go wrong?
Because Michael doesn't go, like, he doesn't live there, but someone decorated for Christmas, and it is nice.
That's why you have a groundskeeper to do that. And, she's like, the cabin's perfect. She calls him, like, on the landline because there's no cell service.
Obviously.
The cabin, of course.
She puts on some Christmas music.
Yeah, she does.
Pours herself a glass of wine, lays down on the couch to just kind of, like, dive into a book.
She earned this.
And then suddenly,
oh, no,
in the background, you see someone come in. And you're like, who's this person? What is this? And then you go.
Well, Brian, I don't know if you know what happens in Lifetime movies, but chloroform is always
chloroform.
So she gets chloroform from behind, and she's like,
and then the person says, "You just got chloroformed."
She has the best night's sleep of her life.
I don't even know where you get chloroform or like what
Patrick. Like, yeah, okay, sure. Neither do I.
We see the bottle behind you, buddy. Come on. Right.
None of us know how to get chloroform.
Blur my background.
Watch out behind you.
You just got chloroformed.
And then we cut to the super fan. The super fan is like on her laptop or like just listening to like music and dreaming about Gideon, and a new notification pops up and it says Mallory Dearborn is dead.
Now, and I gotta be honest with you, did not see that coming. I know it's Silent Night, Fatal Night, but we just saw her got chloroformed and then she's dead, and I'm like, whoa, they just killed someone. They killed the main person in the movie.
Nobody knew she was there except her books.
That's exactly right. Her books knew, but no one else knew. So that's pretty shocking news. But what's not shocking is that we're going to go to a break, and we're going to be right back and talk a little bit more about Silent Night, Fatal Night. Here on Deck the Hallmark.
Lifetime Uncorked.
Lifetime. Dang it.
More formed.
You
You know what catches me by surprise is all the amazing content on Philo. It's phenomenal.
That surprises phenomenal. You?
I know. Well, looked at it I once? Keep being surprised by this stuff.
Of course they have the best.
So much. So much.
Holiday Hub.
It's the Holiday Hub. And guess what? January's coming, and it's still just as good.
Which you threatened. It was a good
one. Philo.tv/DTH. We're talking about Silent Night, Fatal Night.
Yes.
She dead. Ugh. That is where we are. She dead, and I'm surprised.
Yeah, and so is the world. The world is shocked. Yeah. This famed author, young, beautiful author, dead.
Book just came out. Yeah, she should be riding high. Instead, she's riding low, riding 6 feet low, under.
6 feet. So, you got chloroform.
Michael's watching the story on the news, and they're saying all the sad things.
Yeah.
And he proposes a toast. He's like, to Mallory, R.I.P., drinks his little drink, and then he heads downstairs to the basement, and he's just walking in the basement and walking.
Nothing weird
walking.
Here.
No, he's just going to the basement, and then cut to Mallory. She's alive.
Oh,
she's
come gagged. On.
She's tied up. She's
got both.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
The
yeah.
thing that goes right here
between your
that
teeth
suddenly yeah. makes it to where you can't make a sound. Hey, oh,
hey, why did you chloroform me entirely up?
Nothing yeah. you can do. You got the thing in your mouth. You can't. Yeah, can't talk yeah. through that.
So he put a Lindsay Lohan like tracking device on her ankle, and he's like, "If you leave this house, it'll beep, and I'll know you left.
And and if you try to take it off, I'll know too."
Boy, he's really
he right. says
and
that.
I'm like, that is not a deterrent. It could beep all the way. Is yeah. it going to like shock me or something? Is yeah. it a shock bracelet? No.
No, it's just I'm
going
to know.
I'm just going to. He's just, like, I'm going for a bike ride. Don't you move.
And here's, but, he kind of dives into what he's up to here. Okay. He's like,
yeah, he does.
I'm going to need you to write another Gideon book.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I think he basically comes clean and is like, we already got the advance. I took the money. I thought the investments were good. I invested the money, lost it. It doesn't matter. We still mm-hmm. need to write this book. And so she's allowed to like get out of bed, go upstairs and write.
Right. Yeah.
And do all that stuff. And he's going to like make her yeah. food and stuff. But she can't leave, yeah. and we got to get this book done by like Christmas.
This actually sounds like most writers. This would be ideal for them, like because the hardest part true. Of writing is like sitting, like doing it on your own. So if somebody could capture you, tie you up, feed you.
Wait until you see what we got in store for you in January, oh, Brian. Boy. It's gonna be pretty crazy.
Create stakes, right? So Mallory tries to like bargain her way out of it. She's like, "I'll pay the advance. I don't care. Just let me go." He's like, "No." Think of it as a writer's retreat type of thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, also, by the way, the Wi-Fi's off and the phones have all been removed.
You can't even look at Facebook. You can't check anything. This is ideal for a writer.
Yeah. no distractions. Yeah. She is just writing on a laptop with Microsoft Word on there. So Mallory tries to leave and the bracelet beeps and she's like, oh, no, the bracelet beeped. I got to go back inside.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's at this point that that somebody shows up, right?
Food delivery?
What?
The hiker?
No, not yet.
Not yet? Okay, not I'm sorry. Yet. I'm sorry. You go ahead.
There's a hiker?
We didn't talk about the sandwich that he prepared.
Oh, I forgot about the sandwich.
I'm kidding. We can move on to the hiker.
He does make a sandwich.
Is it a good-looking sandwich?
I mean, it's...
It's like bologna and cheese.
It's fine. It gets the job
done. If you're hungry, that's probably the best sandwich you ever had.
Do you want to get kidnapped? Like you are like making them. Like, this sounds pretty good.
I have a few allergies you should know about, but other than that, I'm pretty much down for whatever.
Ryan's like, I don't have to see my kids for days. Kidnap me.
No.
Oh, man. Days? I kid. Yeah, do well, I?
Making the sandwich, that's when we see like somebody outside the house right. and someone knocks on the door. It's this hiker.
It's always a hiker.
Yep. He's
he
lost.
He has his backpack. He, you know, is like, hey, I was a couple cabins down, but I got turned around and just need to like come in and, you know, warm up for a minute. And Michael's weird. Like, yeah, come in. And
I will say this guy is sus.
He's totally sus.
Totally sus.
Yeah.
Like, this is just, it's just not something that I would do. Like, I wouldn't be like, yeah, I'm a little bit turned around. You mind if I just come in? And then he starts like poking around at the house. He's like, look at that. What's this? Oh, mm-hmm. my goodness. So like guy yeah. is like all over the place.
That's weird.
And
he wants to use the bathroom. Like,
and the yeah. but he this is where the dilemma becomes. I don't yeah, know. She becomes. This is where the dilemma happens because she is in the bathroom, right? That's where he puts her or in a room next to the bathroom or whatever. And so when he starts to go into the bathroom, he's like, you can't go in there. And then you hear Mallory go, and he's like, what's that? Yep. What's that? And so, I mean, do the math, try to figure out what happens next.
You want me to try to figure
try to figure out what happens
next? I think yeah. he starts he sounds like he's going to poke around a little bit and go in the room and see her. Oh, he murders the hiker.
Yeah, he gets murdered.
Oh, I thought, okay. I thought the hiker was like going to take control of the situation. That's a bummer.
No. No. Yeah. The hiker gets stabbed.
Hate that for Mallory. Stabs him in his cabin? What a mess. Not that, I mean, know. It's not, well, sounds like
it's
a mess.
It's not a great.
You know what's not a bad idea, though, Brian, is this hiker being total sus.
Yeah.
And when he opens the door and sees Mallory tied up, he's like, well, this is interesting because I was going to tie you up.
Oh,
and he ties. And Michael, so then Michael and Mallory are actually now tied up together.
Yeah.
An interesting, thought there
for BMX.
But I don't know. I don't know if we can tie them all together. But the idea of the captor becoming the captee with the other captee, and now they have to work together to get out. But he's like, if I do work with her to get out and she gets out, then
it's risky.
So it's like, what do I do? An interesting idea.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's deep. That's very deep. But not what happens.
Not what happens here at all. Once again, we're just saying all of our good ideas out loud today.
TML, by the way.
I swear, if this BMX guy takes this idea.
The sheriff shows up because you got to have a sheriff in a Lifetime movie. There was a 911 hang-up call. I don't know who called 911, but it doesn't matter.
And I thought for sure this cop was going to die.
Oh,
I thought, everyone who's going to knock on this door, he's just going to start killing everybody because you can't. But the cop does poke around. He does hear Mallory. Mallory this time just goes with the knocking, like it's like trying to like make sound that way, and what's his name, the
sheriff
there? Michael. Oh, Michael. Is it Michael? Michael's like, oh man, that's the pipes.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get pipes, it to stop, man. But what can you do?
The
and the cop's like, yeah, classic pipes.
Yeah,
and he leaves.
Yes,
so
he leaves, but the cab. I mean, it's a cabin, so yeah, there's gonna be issues.
Old pipe noises.
So Mallory starts writing about Gideon, the main character, being kidnapped, art imitating life. It starts to really flow. She gets halfway through the book, and she's like really getting it done. She's like, usually when I get halfway through the book, I have a steak dinner and wine. Yep. And Michael's like, all right, I can do that for you. He cooks up some steak. Mallory goes to the bathroom, but really she's like crushing pills up and she's going to put it in his wine.
Yeah. Found some pills in the bathroom.
In a Ibiza?
Mirror.
Yeah. He just left them laying around for her to grab?
Yeah. And I got to be honest, I don't know if you can just crush up any pill and it will kill you, but whatever this pill was going to do the job.
Lethal? Okay.
You gotta do it. So they're having steak dinner with their wine. She's like very excited for him to drink the wine.
Yeah.
And then we get my favorite scene of the Christmas season ever. Michael takes the wine. He's like, cheers to Gideon and your book. You're doing so great. And she's like, yes, cheers. She drinks her wine. She's like watching him like, ooh. He just like goes to his mouth and then pours it on the plate.
Sloppy steak.
Oh,
it's in the sound effect of like the pouring. It's
sloshing.
Like, it's like very like sound effecty. And he's sound. Like,
I brought a clip apparently.
Right. And I'm not going to fall for this. You put something in my wine.
Well, and I also love like pretty smart on his part because she was trying to figure out a way to get him to leave so that she could put the crushed up pills in his wine. And so she says, I actually like to drink a white wine with my steak. Do we have any white? And he's like, yeah, I got white. So he leaves. And when he comes back and he does the poured out.
Is he pouring wine all over the steak?
Pouring wine all over the steak. That is that sound?
All
yes.
Over the plate. All he, over the plate.
He goes,
hilarious.
You think I don't know you? You never drink white wine. Oh. So honestly, a pretty bad cover for her. Like,
you
she should have come up
go
with
out of your normal routine.
If you're notorious red, you can't just all of a sudden go with white and expect him not to pick up on it. But pretty smart on his part, pretty dumb on her
absolutely.
Part.
Absolutely. Yes. Pouring again?
Yes.
Well, he never stops. So he's like, get back to work. She's like, I need internet to do research. And he's like, no, you can't have that. But she does seal a letter opener, like, from the desk. And
he's just
later,
leaving all sorts of stuff around for her, huh?
Yeah.
Pills, letter openers. What else?
Right. Well, and well, of course, she hooks up to his iPhone with his iPhone is just like willy nilly, just allowing anybody to join their network.
So, yeah, here's the thing. I don't know if this is true, but when he's like goes to take a phone call, she's like, yes. Uh-huh. Apparently, when you take a phone call, your hotspot automatically becomes active. And she was able to hop onto
like a Wi-Fi hotspot.
A Wi-Fi hotspot.
Okay.
Yeah.
It opens up the data portal. That's what I'm afraid of. The data portal just opening up and everybody gets in.
I don't, I don't know. For some reason, when he was on the phone, it triggered the Wi-Fi being available on the laptop.
Sure.
So she hops on and she Googles, and this is when she finds out that she's dead. At this point, she didn't know that had been.
Dead?
Yes.
Okay.
And she was like, okay, I'll write the story and then he'll let me go. Now she's putting it together. He's planning the story that I'm dead. Yeah. Once I finish this book, he's going to have me killed.
Yeah. Right. And my favorite thing is Mallory doesn't, chat 911. She Googles herself.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
The stats.
I understand, but also like, listen, as someone whose homepage is Googling myself,
Google alert setup.
You gotta send an email or something. You gotta make the use of that time.
Yeah, but she has no friends or family, so I guess who would she call? You know,
that's true.
So we cut to our super fan. Our super fan, we were so
you remember
about
super fan?
Yeah, I do. What's she been up to?
She's watching old interviews.
Yes,
as
she should. Because she's so sad that her favorite author is
so
dead.
Sad.
And so she's listening to all these interviews, trying to, because while the news has come out that she's dead, no news of how she died came out. And so she's like just very interested in like what, so she's looking for like clues, kind of like, did she say like she's sick or something like that? And she comes across one interview where she says that after a Gideon book comes out, she takes a month off and doesn't write, and she's never working on two books at once. So when the news comes out that there's another Gideon book that was actually ready to go and it's going to come out posthumously,
I think,
after she's dead, she's like, wait a second, something doesn't line up here. Because she says she never has two books at once. She takes time off. But there's the publisher saying, hey, we have another book, actually, and we're going to release it. So
thank God for
superfans. She's starting to put it together. And I'd like to think that if something happened to little old Brand, some double deckers would do some sleuthing.
Everybody get together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brent, is there going to be a break in the case soon?
I think there is going to be a break in the case and a break in this episode here on Deck the Lifetime Uncorked.
We're back.
So Superfan is starting to put some things together. The things aren't quite lining up.
Well, and Mallory's not just like at the cabin, you know, writing willy nilly. She's trying to get out of there. She stabs Michael with that letter opener we talked about. But he stops her and he's like, no, don't stab me. And she's like, I connected to the Wi-Fi and I know you're going to kill me and all this stuff. he's like, oh no, I'm not going to kill you at the end of this. Just keep writing the book. We could say you faked your own death for like attention.
Or like, and then he's like, or we could just like keep putting these out. Like maybe we've actually found two books or three books.
Ooh, yeah.
Like who knows how many books we could find your hard drive. I mean, it's chock full. So he's basically implying, I mean, I might just keep you at, like keep you writing.
Sure.
As my little writer.
Right.
I don't know how many times you could do that before people start going, hold up. She had 10 books on her hard drive. I don't know.
That seems. Yeah. And Michael goes into town. He's like listening to like Christmas music in the car, like having a great time. He forgets his wallet. And our girl Mallory, like, gets untied. She's untied, but she's pretending that she's still tied up.
Yeah.
Because
she had the butter. Know. She did the old butter trick.
Slipped her hands out?
Yeah. Wow. She put butter all over her ankle, slipped right out of that old ankle bracelet, put butter on her wrist, got out of the handcuffs. And I got to be honest, I don't know if that's how it works. Like, if the things are actually on there real good as they should be, you can't just, no amount of butter is going to let it like slip around a bigger object, right?
I don't know. I mean, butter is
all right. Bring in the butter.
Yeah, get that
bring
vat in the butter.
Of butter. Let's put this to the test.
Tie you up real good,
Brian. I'm gonna make your dream come true. I'm gonna hold you captive.
I'm gonna write so hard.
See if you can get out of these handcuffs.
So now that she is like pretending to be tied up, the sheriff comes back and he's like, "Hey, we got a report about a missing hiker." This time, Michael is trying to, like, bribe him off. He's like, here's a book. Like, you know, maybe go read this book, and it's free. You can have it. And the guy, the sheriff's like, great. He goes back to the station. He's like, I got this book. And his receptionist is like, oh, that's that author that died. You know, like, are you sure? Like, he starts piecing it together. He's like, oh, he told me that she was on vacation or whatever. You know, like, the story's not adding up. The sheriff is piecing it together.
Yeah. And do you remember our super fan?
I sure do.
So she starts doing some sleuthing, calling around, trying to figure out if anybody knew that Mallory had another book that she was writing. And she decides to contact a publisher. The publisher is like, you need to talk to his agent because her agent. That's the guy who would know about this book. And so she's trying to figure out, how can I get a hold of this agent? So she shows up at the, this is pretty ingenious on her part. She shows up and it's like, hey, I need to know where this guy is. And they're like, we're not just going to give out that information.
Of course, yeah.
And she's like, well, I actually have, I'm a cake girl.
Yeah.
And I have to deliver this cake to him. Where can I deliver the cake? Cause I thought it was supposed to come here. He's not here. Where can I bring it?
Get that cake to him.
And his assistant is like, he's actually at his cabin. Let me give you the address. You can bring the cake there. So she gets the address with a little cake tomfoolery. Sure. So she's going to try to find this guy and see if she can get any more information about what
actually
happened.
Good thing
he
likes cake. Because that could have gone south. If
if the assistant knew that this guy does not cake, wouldn't have given the address. But luckily, there is no cake. But clearly has a past with cake, and so it was worth getting the address.
Right. You know, he's got to have those BMX calories.
Once you bike, you got a cake. We all know that.
Everybody knows that.
Cake by the ocean. That's what that song's about.
Yes. Thank you.
Absolutely. So Mallory finishes the book. They celebrate with some champagne. And she offers to read the ending of the book to Michael.
Yeah.
And basically she's like, Gideon shoots her agent. You know, like... She's like, whatever. She like smashes him with a laptop.
Can I just really quick, before that happens, she's reading it and is like reading it, and he's like, I'll keep going. Read more. It's like he's real pervy about this, about being read to. This guy's kink is clearly having someone read mystery novels to him out loud, because he is real into this. Yeah. Keep reading.
If that's all it takes, like, sign me up. I'll read this man stories all night long. Okay.
But yeah, she's like, she fought back against her captor, and then she closes the laptop, smashes it against the back of his face, and then they start struggling. struggling. And it's at this point that Carrie shows up, right?
Cake girl?
The cake girl.
Yeah.
Does not have a cake. Yeah, she didn't bring one.
It's confusing, but okay.
Yeah, so they're all like fighting over the gun. Someone calls 911 and finally.
No one called 911. He was coming because he realized about the book. The
sheriff guy? Yeah.
Okay.
He was coming back to check because he said, you're really going to like the next one, when he handed him the book. And when the police officer's assistant said, oh, she's dead.
Yeah, she's dead.
He's starting to put it together. He's like, all right, something about this guy and what he said isn't lining up. So he was just going back out there.
It all happened so fast. This is all like
it did. And this does come to an end pretty quickly.
Okay. It's like laptop in the face. Super fan shows up, sheriff shows up, everyone's fighting, and then basically the sheriff arrests Michael. Carrie helps Mallory like stand up, and then we cut to like a year later, and Mallory's latest book, autobiography about being kidnapped. It's a huge success, and Carrie, I thought, was the book agent, but I think actually Carrie is going to continue writing the series.
Correct.
She's like a super fan.
Oh, wonderful.
She has all her like fanfic stuff she's been writing for years. So Mallory's just like, just put that in a book and you can keep the series going. I trust you with that.
Basically, like, because Carrie saved her life, she gets to write this autobiography with her. And then she's like, hey, I would love to keep Gideon going. And she's like, boom, you saved my life. You can do literally whatever you want to for the rest of your life. And I can't say no, you saved my life. So, and that's the movie. That's Silent Night, Fatal Night.
And they eat cake?
No cake.
Ugh.
No, they should have had cake at the end, but no no cake. So Brian, what are you thinking based on, what you haven't seen the movie?
Yeah.
So pour it up, put a cork in it. What are you feeling?
So I don't really like scary movies too much. I don't do great with horror, but this feels more my speed. This feels doable for me. This type of, it doesn't feel like it's super scary, jump scare, anything like that. Terrifying situation though. If you put it in your mind, a biker kidnaps you and you gotta, I kind of like that idea. Like, if you got to write something, somebody strapping you a chair and feeding you and just saying your only job is to write, and you're definitely going to be able to write. That's phenomenal. Mike does this all for money. Is that it? Like,
because if she doesn't write the Gideon book, he's going to get sued. So he's already out the money because he made some poor investments.
Made some promises.
And
here,
then the publisher is like, if you don't get us this, the start of this, like the first draft by Christmas Eve, we're going to leave us
some crazy stuff.
Yeah,
I guess. I would say, Brent, let's fire up that wine over steak sound effect. Thank you. Because Call Me Michael, I'm pouring this one up.
Wow.
All over
sloppy steak style.
I like the sound of this one. It sounds
sloppy
like a good time.
Steak.
I thought
wine and the steaks.
Yeah.
They'll eat the steak.
Yeah, eat the steak.
Get the wine
it's like
with
an
it.
Au jus, if you will. I thought the super fan was going to turn out to be a bad person. I'm glad to hear that it worked out really well for her.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at.
Give it up for your fans. Everyone should have a super fan
absolutely.
Like that.
Yes,
absolutely. I'm pouring this all the way up. I love this movie.
Cool.
The Christmas obviously was just a throw in and it didn't really add or subtract from this movie. I thought what this movie did great was how they set it up early on with not being sure who was going to be the person for the fatal. Like, the fan is so over the top. Like, usually when you have that obsessed fan in Lifetime movies, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that's usually a sign that they're going to do something messed up. Like, when you have somebody as the background of your computer, your laptop screen, you're going to do something weird.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And it was the agent. And I thought they set that up really nicely. The BMX guy is an excellent bad guy. Like, he was really great. And big fan of this movie. Really enjoyable.
I mean, it's that counter programming, right? So like, we've been in Christmas world for so long that you need a little, I mean, it's not too scary. So
it's not, no.
I think it's the perfect amount of suspense, or like I don't know what the genre is, I guess thriller.
Sure.
And I think they did
thriller.
A good job. Like, if this had come out not at Christmas time, it might have just been like a run-of-the-mill Lifetime movie, but since it's like, you know, a Silent Night, Fatal Night, I wish they would have played Silent Night at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
But
missed opportunity
for me. I don't watch as many of these as you do, but like of the ones that I've seen this year, this one was my favorite of the Lifetime movies I've seen, aside from like The Hammer in January. Like that is, but that's its own thing. And Barrett and Barstow, like those, I feel like were like elevated, not your standard Lifetime flick of the traditional Lifetime format. I thought this one was great.
Yeah, no, they did a great job. I'm definitely pouring it up as well, especially for that steak scene.
Sloppy.
There it is.
If you haven't seen it, it's on my Instagram, so check that out, because I definitely clipped that right away. I was like, this will live forever in my brain and my Instagram.
You know what? Your New Year's resolution should be to do that at some point. Like, to be out at dinner with some friends and just be like, all right, this is going to be the night that I do this. I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm going to order the steak. I'm going to order the wine, and I'm going to wait until somebody says something, and I'm just going to ride all over that steak.
Okay. That's a good one. All right.
That's a good resolution. That's good. Well, we did, everybody. Congratulations. What a wonderful 2023 it's been. So many fun movies, so many fun lifetimes. And I think we're going to do more of it in 2024. I think we got a lot of good stuff going on. But until next year.
Wow.
May we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast is produced by Aaron Shea. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on the Deck the Hallmark family, you can go to bramblejamplus.com. Deck the Hallmark is presented by Philo TV. For a free trial of Philo, go to philo.tv/DTH.